phone, on the new Sports Hub app,
and on your computer.
98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Brian Gianta. A good story. When people thought, when the Bruins acquired Brian Gianta, people were like, who's this jabroni? When's he coming back, 39 years old? And then he comes back and he says, hey, not so fast. I got some gas left in the tank. If you'll recall, he was on the U.S. Olympic team and then got brought in. Mr. Brian Gianta, hello, sir.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We are doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, so you play in the Olympics, and you're figuring probably, okay, this is nice. You know, the NHL guys aren't playing in this. And then did you have any expectations that a team would be reaching out to you, NHL team?
Yeah, I mean, we had some conversations throughout the year with a few teams, and obviously, you know, they were had expressed a little bit of interest. And then, you know, I just left it up as I went over there you know, from my agent to kind of figure some things out, and when we were done, finalized everything.
Now, since, like, technically it wasn't NHL players over there, did they make you stay in the Olympic Village, or were you able, did they put you up in some better lodging?
No, we were in the Olympic Village, like the first time when I was in Torino. It was the same way for us with the NHL guys as well. You stay in the village, and USA set up a separate house for us to eat at, and they brought in their own chefs and stuff like that. But besides that, it was pretty much the same experience as it was in Torino when I had that as well.
I read that there was I know you wouldn't participate in this, but I read that at the Olympic Village, there were places set up specifically for people to have sex.
No, I mean, that's not I didn't see any of that stuff. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I didn't know anything about it. Let's put it that way.
Brian, to follow up on that. No, just kidding.
No, it's true.
When you got done, and how many teams were there? How many, you know, offers did you kind of sift through, and what led you to the Bruins and the appeal of coming here?
Well, I had, you know, obviously watched the Bruins throughout the year and saw how good of a team they had, and it was one of the teams that had expressed interest throughout the year. So it definitely, you know, once they were in on it, it was pretty much, you know, just them. There were a couple other teams that had asked about it, but when the Bruins kind of came through as serious, it was, you know, pretty much on my side, it was only them.
What were the expectations you had in terms of playing time or what your role was going to be on this team?
I said it before. You're coming into a great team, a good setup with a lot of great guys in that room. I was willing to play whatever role that is. And, you know, obviously I've been fortunate enough to get some good playing time and whatnot. And, you know, hopefully down the stretch we can continue to keep pushing forward. But, you know, I really didn't have much expectation. It was come here, try to be a part of something great, and see where we could go.
You've been on a lot. Oh, sorry. Go ahead,
Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
You've been on a lot of teams over the course of your career now, Brian. How do you break this one down, looking from afar, like you said, all season long, and now being in that room? And, yeah, you guys are going through a bunch of injuries, but from Cassidy all the way through, what do you like particularly about this team as you go forward?
Well, I've said it before, too, that the transition for the four new guys that have come in at the deadline has been seamless because of the guys in that room and how tight of a group of guys it is. You know, it's been a seamless transition, and I think that's been the biggest thing, is how great one, the leadership is, and two, how these young guys have you know, felt comfortable and part of the group, just like us four new guys have. I think that's the reason for a lot of the success of the team.
How much has the room changed over the last couple of weeks? You guys have lost a lot of key players here.
Yeah, I mean, you got some big injuries out there. Obviously, Berge, you know, Bath being out with a suspension, Mack being out. There's some big key injuries, and we've been able to kind of keep plugging forward, so hopefully we can continue that.
Is Marchand hurt, or were they just keeping him out of that Chicago game?
No, they were not just keeping him out, but hopefully he'll be ready here soon.
What's he like to play with? You know, he's
as opposed to against.
Yeah, yes. Such an agitator against and everything else. What's he like?
It's much better to play with him than it is against him. Let's just put it that way. We had our battles for a few years when I was in Montreal, and you know, it's nice to be on him and Big Z's team finally.
Yeah, he hates Plekanec.
Oh, with a passion.
He
used to. He said they're buddies now, but you know,
what did you think of Plekanec?
That same thing. I love Plekanec. He was a good friend of mine and still is. That's the nature of it. When you're playing against these guys, I guess that's a key quality that opponents don't like you. But when you're on the team, these are all great guys.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you love to play with them. You hate to play against them. Well, this run has been something else. And it's nice that, you know, I don't know how careful the team's being with injuries, but it's nice to have that, you know, kind of leash where you can allow guys maybe to get a little bit healthier than you would have if things were a lot tougher. And Brian Gianta, congratulations on all the success and your place with the team and the way you've been playing. And we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, and I want to ask real quick, what's it like coming back to a city where you won a championship in college, right?
That's right. He's
like
all over the place.
45 years ago,
you
right?
go to BC over there.
Yeah, Jerry York is still coaching.
It was Brady's first season with the Patriots when he won that championship, I've been told.
Yeah, it was. I love the city. I've always loved the city. And obviously, Coach York did call me right away as soon as I signed. And when my wife and kids were in town, we went down to campus. He had us out to campus and stuff and met some of the guys and for a practice. So it was a long time ago, but, you know, I love every bit of the city.
Is he as nice as he appears
right,
to
no,
be?
We're not doing that,
same?
Dan. We're not doing that,
Fred,
Dan.
By the way, I did a live shot outside.
Dan, that is like a terrible question. That is such a bad question.
I don't know
question.
If Brian remembers this. I did a live shot. We traveled out to Albany when they won the
as
national
nice
championship.
As he seems. No, he's an ass.
And I had the entire team come out, and they gathered around me after they won the national championship when I went live. That's how things have changed.
Brian, is that your best memory of your time at BC?
that's my only memory of winning the championship, is that moment.
All right. You know what, Brian? You flipped over to Fred's side, so I'm going to say goodbye and let you go. Okay?
I like. What's it like to play in Boston? Oh, it's awful. I just hate it here.
That's right.
All right. Brian, I'm sorry you had to sit through that.
Yeah.
He's not normally on the show. we appreciate your time.
And good luck the rest of the way.
I appreciate it.
All right,
thank you.
Take care. I like how Dan wouldn't let me end the interview because he wanted to ask.
I wanted to ask you a question about BC.
It was nice to come back to town.
Sorry for appreciating, you know.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Fred!
Yes.
You're phoning it in today, bud. Sorry, I had you on speakerphone.
No problem.
And a guy calls up and says that you're bad today, and then you just make fun of him and then say, no, you do the radio for 2 minutes.
Well, that's what I do is I want people to know. First of all, I'm not phoning it in. I feel like I'm carrying 180 pounds of roach. But believe me, I'm not phoning it in today. I'm working my ass off today, and I'm not lying. But I'll tell you this is that what I like to do sometimes is when someone calls in and they're as ridiculous as that guy is, I didn't give him 2 minutes, by the way. I give him a minute. But I'll just go, you do it. And then they do it, and they ultimately fail. And then it makes me feel better about myself. It won't happen again today. I apologize.
I listen every morning.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
See you, man.
All right. Thank you. I don't blame Dan either because Dan is in a situation where he didn't have power. I'm just kidding, Dan. You've been on fire today.
What'd you say?
I don't even know if you were kidding.
Talking about. Talking about. Sox, Elf, Bruin, Revolution, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. If you have the unfortunate task of being out today, or if you were listening to the radio at home, I feel obligated to tell you that Donald Trump has fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. He is gone.
What number firing is that in the Trump administration in 1 year?
Got to be double digits, right?
Yeah. Oh, geez.
I don't know about firing, but in terms of turnover
or leaving or resigning, or it's in the 50s now, isn't it? People.
Well, it depends how deep into
what constitutes the inner circle and what doesn't.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. There are about 15 guys / guys and women who are constitute the inner circle. Got to figure 7 or 8 of those people are gone by now.
Yep.
Right. So, Rex Tillerson has been fired. Rock and Roll Mike, hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What do you think of all this cold weather?
This cold weather is a drag.
How do you heat up?
It's not good, man. It's not good. What do you think about it?
I don't like it. Rock and Roll Mike, how do you heat up? Is there a song that helps you heat up when it's cold outside?
Absolutely. There's many songs that help me heat up.
Can you give
Oh, yeah. But, hey, I'm working on a new album. We'll get to that after the fact. I'm working on an album, and it's called Hot Balls.
Hot Balls?
Yeah. Hot Balls.
All right.
Rock and Roll Mike.
Okay. Yeah, uh-huh. Can you give us a sample?
I got something to tell you people. I'm going to run for president in 2020. Yeah.
Now, can you give us a sample of one of your songs?
Yeah. It's called Hot Balls. Hot Balls. Hot Balls. Oh, yeah. 98.5 watts. Hot Balls. Oh, yeah. Hot Balls. Yeah, that's why I'm in the Landau Street. I'm working on an album.
All right. Well, listen.
Hey, how you guys doing? Come on.
All right. I have to move on in just a second. But do you have another song off of Hot Balls you can give us?
No, I don't remember.
All right, it's still a work in progress. Rock and Roll Mike, always keep in touch. Okay.
Right on. Hey, Rock and Roll loves you. 98.5 Sports Hub rocks.
Thank you, Rock and Roll Mike. Rock and Roll Mike. It is 9:22 in the morning. And that is how Rock and Roll Mike is feeling. All right, so Tom versus Time debuted yesterday, and we've played some of it, the rubdowns, everything like that, and it continues.
Is Gronk going to be okay for that?
Cedric McAvoy is on hold?
I'm like, what's he doing?
Yeah. Oh.
He's supposed to be on with us right now.
He's been on hold.
Oh, I didn't know that Cedric Maxwell was coming on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at Dan Roach loading up the lines. Cedric Maxwell, hello, sir.
Hot balls.
Hey, Max.
Hot balls.
I love you, Max.
Max is awesome. Now, yeah, do you know Rock and Roll Mike?
Is that the new hit?
That's the new hit. It's off his album, Hot Balls. Now, if you add...
I got you.
It doesn't seem like he put an awful lot of thought into the lyrics, but...
Who does these days?
Well, I'll tell you what, you don't craft the same kind of pictures that you used to back in the day, but there he is. Cedric Maxwell, there's a lot of controversy, it seems, when they talk about retiring jerseys. And you seem to be at the center of some of it. People, you know, because they talk about everyone who has their jersey retired. Well, do you think that the Celtics retire too many jersey numbers?
No, I really don't. I think that when you are the victor, there goes the spoils. I mean, you look at most of the guys who won championships. How do you go about doing it? Like, how many numbers have the Red Sox retired?
What are they up to now? Seven?
I think it's eight or nine.
Yeah.
8 or 9 now.
Well, in fairness, they haven't won very much.
Thank you. That's
right.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, somebody made a point the other day. I was talking, and matter of fact, it was Maps. He and I were talking, and we were talking about jerseys retired. And the next jersey retired probably would be Kevin Garnett. And Matt's like, oh, my God, there's no way, you know, that he can have his jersey retired because he wasn't around here long enough. And I looked at Matt and I said, Matt, how long did Pedro play here? 6 years. Kevin Garnett played 6 years. But no. Pedro was one of the best to ever play. Kevin Garnett was one of the best to ever play. So, you know, I think the Celtics have a right to decide who they want to sign, the jersey they want to change. They want to retire them, they're good.
You make a good point. I can't argue with that.
Hot balls!
Hot balls! Come on!
Hey, Max, so what's your make of all these injuries that keep piling up and keep on going? Tice out for the year now, and I think Celtics fans obviously concerned about Kyrie Irving. You played, you had knee issues. What kind of thoughts go through your mind about those two guys, Tice and Irving, to start with?
Well, you know, I saw Tice when he hurt his knee, and it was one of those plays that was non-contact. And I told Sean at that time, we didn't get a prognosis at that time. And I saw him move, and I said, Sean, I think he just hurt his knee. I think he really did something to his knee. So, obviously, it's done. It's a long season, and it's just unfortunate that you have guys to go down at certain times. Great teams have great luck during the season that they have guys who are healthy. You look at this team the way it is now. If you said Gordon Hayward went down in the first 5 minutes of the season, you would have said, there's no way they would have this kind of record. So the Celtics are fortunate to be where they are, but they're fortunate to have Brad. They're fortunate to have a collection of guys who really played well.
Would you play Kyrie Irving for the next 2 or 3 weeks, Max, or would you just sit him down?
It really depends on his comfort level. If his comfort level, if he's uncomfortable, I think that you just sit him down for a while. I don't even think it's an afterthought. Kyrie Irving is valuable to you. You don't want to, jeopardize his career, but you don't know what's going on with that knee. Is it soreness? I've heard for the longest time now that Kyrie has had some knee soreness, and he's kind of tried to play through it. So we'll see, and I'm sure the medical staff has a good handle on which way they want to go.
All right, how important do you think it is to have home court through the playoffs?
Well, in the Celtics' case, it really isn't as important. Celtics have not been a really good home team this year, not the dominant home team that some of the other teams we've seen. I think it's more important right now that they're healthy and they go into the playoffs with a spirit of, being healthy, running the floor. Now, if you're saying Tice is out for the remainder of the year, how valuable was it to go out and get Greg Monroe? So the Celtics have made some good moves, some good changes, and this team is still a strong team. But without Kyrie Irving, I mean, your chances really, really go down.
The focus, Max, has been on the bench and what it can do. It was not necessarily very good in the first half of the year, but since the All-Star break, they've been great, and Greg Monroe is part of that. How much do you expect Monroe to contribute if everyone is healthy on the roster?
Well, if Tice is down and not going to play anymore, all of a sudden Greg Monroe's numbers have to go up. The thing that you got from Tice was the ability later on to knock down a three-pointer. He became a lot more consistent with that. Defensively, he was really good around the rim. He improved, day after day in and day out. He continued to improve. And so with Greg Monroe, I think the only time is he's going to get more time with Tice being out.
Well, you look at the Hayward story, Max, and he had Danny Ainge on his station that said, that basically Brad Stevens, no.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, and Hayward.
All right, Danny Rose.
And Hayward.
Hot balls!
There you go.
And Hayward has said, he's got hope, but tell me from your perspective, isn't that maybe more of, that's why it keeps him motivated, waking up every day and having to go through the grueling rehab that he's going through, too?
Absolutely. I think that, if the thing about rehab is quiet, it's long, it's lonely, because you're essentially, you got to remember, he's played before thousands and, 20,000 people a night or whatever it might be in Utah and Boston or whatever. But now what he's working out in front of is basically about three people, the guys on the staff and himself. So to keep himself motivated, there has to be something that he looks at as a reward at the very end. I remember trying to be that way, getting hurt and, trying to come back from an injury sooner maybe than I should have. But at that time, it was a different era. I think now the Celtics are going to era, with caution. They're going to make sure that if he's ready. I think that seems like there's been a little hitch in his giddy up so far as him running. I haven't seen him run. I've seen him stationary. Stationary looks good, but you can't play basketball in a stationary position. He has to be able to run up and down the court and cut from side to side. That's going to be the key, lateral movement. Can you cut and turn and cut and turn? That's what's going to be a difference if he is to come back sooner than later.
Cedric Maxwell, do you miss the traveling the country with John Wallach?
Absolutely. John Wallach's my man, man. We have a great time. Johnny Wallach, a great story about Johnny Wallach was, this is like one of the best. We were flying to Oklahoma. John Wallach was replacing Sean Grandy for a game, and we were flying to Oklahoma. As we got ready to land, Johnny Wallach and everybody was looking out the porthole in Oklahoma, and we see all these cars, and we're not even near the airport, running up towards our plane, driving up real fast. Well, there was a bomb scare, and this is kill me was the fact that the pilot said, well, we got the bomb scare in Cleveland, over Cleveland, but we kept going to Oklahoma.
Yes.
We landed any place, well, we didn't. But John Wallach's on the plane, and we get off. Everybody's told to leave their bags. Everything you have, leave their bags.
Right.
I'm standing beside John Wallach.
Yep.
He has his briefcase and his bag with him. Walking through all these dogs. People like,
no one stopped me.
I said, John, why do you have your bag? Well, nobody. I said, John, they told everybody else. Well, they didn't tell me. So I'm not sure if John was a terrorist. They went to his bag. I mean, they took John to a separate room.
Yep.
I was like, oh,
they really?
Hell, I'm not going to have my broadcast partner for the night.
Everybody
went
cavity
into,
surge.
They took us to
he
this
was
hangar.
For one.
They took it. They got on. We got on the bus. They took us to this hangar, and everyone's walking without the bag, and I walked in with my bag and the Secret Service. Excuse me. Go over here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But Cedric,
my own private search and destroy.
But yeah. You don't really hang out with him, though, when you guys are on the road, right?
I normally don't hang out with any of my broadcast partners.
Yeah.
You know, you keep it fresh when you're not with them.
That's a nice way.
John is, I'll tell John occasionally where to go to eat or something if you're on the road with me. But Sean and I, when we've been broadcasting all these years, we do one go out, men's day trip. And we go to a place in San Antonio, Texas, called Michieros. Neither one of us are drinkers. We go there. We have about two pitchers of margaritas. We come back laughing. We've seen Kumbaya. We walk down the street together. And that's the only trip of the year that he and I eat together. So normally to keep it fresh, I don't do that with my broadcast partners.
Sounds like my marriage.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Danny.
I mean, my broadcast partner, this was like the best. I was, it was maybe when the Celtics were about to win the championship, I had a friend of mine who went out went to a bar and he saw this lady and she had Celtic paraphernalia on. And she said, he said, hey, are you a Celtic fan? She said, yes, I am. I'm a Celtic fan. He said, my best friend is Cedric Maxwell. And she said, oh my God, I used to love him. I said, love him. She said, I don't like him anymore. He's like, why don't you like him? He said, because he's gay. He said, he's gay. He's not gay. No offense to anybody who's gay. She said, no, he's not gay. She said, yes, he is. He was on, I saw him on TV on the Phantom Gourmet. He was talking about him and his partner went out to eat together. I was John Grandy. So I learned now to say my broadcast partner.
That's right.
Yeah. No offense at all to anybody that everybody does their own thing, but I just thought that was so funny when she said that.
That's awesome.
She was making reference to me going eating on Phantom Gourmet.
Well, she liked you because she saw machismo there and maybe impossible. She wanted to fantasize about you and her. Making sweet, sweet love, and when that was taken away, she felt a little violated. That's all.
Yeah, hot balls!
Cedric Maxwell, thank you so much for
Take
the time,
care, Max.
Sir.
Thanks, Max.
All right, gentlemen, y'all have a good one.
All right, thank you. I had no idea we were going to have Cedric Maxwell on the air, but that's the way it rolls with Danny Roach. He gets you going.
Trying to help you.
Contributes,
you know?
Man.
Right.
Shows right. up, and
then
that's on.
Then he tells me I don't do anything. I just sit here and mail it in, right?
He's just like, let's put two guests back to back. Why not? That's how you do radio.
Yep.
All right.
It's all going to go back and haunt you when I die on the way home.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Now
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. 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 Stack, stack, stack it up.
Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
Who's on hold?
Nobody's on hold. Nobody's on hold. You haven't popped a new guest on me yet.
Nope.
You have not done that. All right.
Just mailing it in today.
Yep. Yep. How many power outages now?
There were 35,000 plus last time I checked.
Now, how are you finding this out?
It's a thing called Twitter. Like, they update you with all these different things.
Okay, so if I get a Twitter account, automatically I just get updated on Boston area power outages?
Yes. That's part of the new deal.
So if I'm in Japan,
it might aggravate you, but you get power outages. Updates. Okay.
Some
days it's like one.
Do you follow all the power companies now?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Poweroutages.com. We love power outages.
Like oopsie daisies. It's a power outage.
Yep. Church gatherings or whatever they were.
You call it church speaks. Just joining us, Dan Roach does a church speak. He did a church speak with Tom Brady's father. Said he was salt of the earth guy. Now, what do you talk about at the church speak?
No, it's, you know.
Your relationship with the Lord?
No, more just having a good foundation, good solid faith and love life and passion. And
a good love life?
Love life.
Oh, you got it about your intimacy?
No, just go out and love life.
So the church thought that they would bring you in and that you would give
it... It was more Mr. Brady speaking.
Okay.
Tom Sr.
All right. So, but they brought you in to kind of give people advice on how to live a full life?
Just, you know, to be passionate about what you do for a living. That's how I say, I speak, you know, you speak all the time. I speak to kids and everything else.
When do I speak? I never speak. The only time I've ever spoken publicly, twice, is one was the auction when my daughter was in preschool where the guy started yelling slurs at me. And he said, I'll give you $300 if you shut the F up, because he felt I was making light of his birdhouses. That was one. And then the other time I did a talk at some like Elks Lodge or something that they paid me for. And I was awful. Awful.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was terrible.
Why?
And then like Zolak did it like 2 days later and killed it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Zo does. I mean, that's Zo's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know?
Now that I've failed at it, I think I'd be better, but I'm in no one asked me to speak. Well, people ask me to host things.
Yeah, MC
and
stuff.
Like and they're lovely people, but we adopted our dog like a month and a half ago, and it's $450 to adopt a dog. Okay, and this is a stray. This is a stray from Tennessee. We've just ordered the genetic test. Apparently, my wife must know what this dog is. It's going to be like 1,000 breeds. Yeah. And so, that's what I'm talking about.
You still in the litter box?
Nah. You know what that means?
What does that mean?
They're nothing but a offspring of a whore.
We've taken kind of an ugly turn here. Not used to. They have used to kitty litter James Stewart going blue.
They have a lot of breeds. Think about it.
Blue kitty litter James Stewart. Apparently,
they don't. I'm not working blue.
Okay.
They have. It says that in the Bible.
Oh,
they do. I believe use that word. Maybe you should crack it open, Pastor James Kitty Litter Stewart.
Pastor Blue Kitty Litter James Stewart.
Yeah, I love fish bones. Like in the cartoons.
Really?
Yeah. Fish bones.
Okay. I think you like the actual fish, but that's okay.
But then they sent me an email the next day, and they said, I feel so foolish. I didn't realize who you were. You know, thank you for adopting the dog. Would you please speak at some thing? And I said, I'm a busy man. I don't have time for that.
Yep.
All right, here comes Scotty Z.
Here we go. Here we go.
Here comes Scotty Z. He's with James Stewart.
You making fun of him?
No, I do a character called Kitty Litter James Stewart. It's not making fun of him. It's gone past that. Now it's just kind of the antics of a cat with the James Stewart voice. You understand? I don't know. It's not anything about his life or about anything about him in general. It's morphed into a separate character. See, Scott, that's the genius of my characters. Most radio people, they'll just come on and they'll go, oh, hey, here's Wilford Brimley, or hey, here's, Kate Beckinsale or something. Or they'll say, here's Pamela Anderson.
Sure.
But me, I take it and I go to the absurd. So, lactating Ray Lewis. A lot of people would just do Ray Lewis. See, I do lactating Ray Lewis. And this is why I'm such a success.
What wrestling move would you...
All right, we're on the radio. You got to get away from me. At least get on a microphone.
Go sit down over there.
This
is great. He's coming and taking over.
Everyone's lost their mind. Because
by the way, Drew Brees just signed a re-up with the Saints.
Yes, he did.
Big deal.
2 years, $50 million with 27 guaranteed.
It's funny that they even had to pay him.
Well, there's your jump-off point for Brady, right?
Yep.
He's going to get a two-year deal.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to keep him?
You have to now.
I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking. I'm playing with you.
How's your day, Dan?
Great.
None of you guys stayed at a hotel, right?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Two of us did. We did. He did.
You took company money to stay at a hotel last night.
Yes, I did.
Absolutely. He has a two-car garage, too.
I absolutely did. Yes.
That's pathetic.
Why? Why is that pathetic?
It was 2 inches on the snow.
And, of course, you knew that ahead of time.
No, if you read the forecast, the snowstorm started at 10.
No, I read the forecast, and they said the snow was going to move in overnight. Why worry about that early in the morning?
Nothing moved in overnight. I was in the snow belt. I had 2 inches of snow.
Congratulations. I chose to not worry about it, stay in a hotel about a mile and a half from here.
Would you order for room service?
I didn't order anything for room service.
Go to Buff's Pub?
Yes, indeed.
Attaboy. Yeah. That's the only reason that I would say. Well, Nick got wasted.
Have you had the wings there, though?
The best wings ever.
Yeah, that's what people say.
Best wings I've had.
The best wings ever. Best onion rings ever.
You know what's the one day?
Oh, really?
Duca was it?
That's not true. We don't know that.
The Dinkums?
That was the rumor.
That was a rumor, but it was unfounded and unfair. It was an accusation that can't be backed up.
Jimmy, what would you do with Fred's body out in the snow after you dispose
of it? Put him with my cats.
All right, now you've gone too far.
He does that really well, actually.
I just, because it's his voice. Right. I just like that Scott Zolak got up and so James gets up, too. They have quite a little relationship going.
All the producers are here, by the way. They all got here about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
The hardest working producers in the business right here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jim Wild, T-Bone, Billy Lanny's back there, Jimmy Stewart, they don't have to be on the air. Yeah, Big Boss is here. Everybody's here.
Yeah, I bet Joe Giza and Scott Sullivan are at Channel 4 right now. They're sports producers.
Sure.
I bet they are. Producer thing.
Giza seems like a good guy.
Oh, he's a great guy. Really is.
He helps out with us.
So is Sully.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us stuff. I like when Giza gives us stuff.
Yes, sir.
He's a good fella. Saw the earth. All right. Well, that was a bad break. But I will tell you,
getting
it's not
tweets,
my
friend,
fault.
Saying, "Are you going to update us on your safely home post when I get home?"
Yeah,
I will tweet out that I'm home.
You should, because I'm going to get a lot of flack if you die.
It'll be great, though.
Yeah. Well, you can die with a smile on your face.
Yeah, I definitely will, and I won't go away.
I have a feeling you're going to die with a smile on your face anyway. You're going to be sitting there like all giddy about something, and then a truck's going to go off the road and just smash it.
And then he's going to haunt you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
No matter what channel you turn to, there's going to be baseball movies. You know, whenever you try and swear, your mouth will close automatically.
Yeah, he's going to have this big, stupid grin on his face, and then something terrible is going to happen.